Daniel 10, we're going to start right at verse 1, but we're going to eventually focus on verse 13. While you're looking for that, let me pray for us. Father, again, we thank you that you've gathered us together here today. Lord, we long to hear from you today, so come and speak to us through this passage in Daniel. These words can seem so distant to us because they were from so long ago. So Lord, just come and speak to us through these words here today. And as always, we invite the power of the Holy Spirit to be with us, because we know that as the Holy Spirit is with us, there can be no spirit of distraction in the room. And as the Holy Spirit is with us, there can be no spirit of doubt or confusion in the room. Only this Holy Spirit may speak and move and have his way in this place. And Holy Spirit, we do long for you to come and to have your way. Amen. I forgot one announcement, actually. I announced the birth of Daniel Christine's baby, Amariah, but I also forgot to announce that Winnie and Jeffrey got married. All right. Making sure what I need to do is being done. All right. Daniel 10, you know, the last several weeks now we've been looking at prayer. It's been 5 weeks total since I've been talking on prayer. You getting tired of it yet? All right, good. Glad to hear it. I warned you I was going to keep talking on prayer until we saw a change in the spiritual atmosphere, and so I'm doing just that. Let me recap where we've been the last few weeks, and then we'll jump into Daniel. We started talking about prayer several weeks ago in Mark 11, where Jesus drives out the money changers and the merchants from the temple, and he declares that his house should be a house of prayer. And I said, we must return to being a house of prayer. Then 3 weeks ago, we looked at persistent and bold prayer in the story of Luke 11, where a visitor arrives at midnight and his host needs some bread to feed his guest, and that parable was all about persistence and boldness in prayer. Then 2 weeks ago, we looked at persistence and boldness in prayer again in the story of the unjust judge in Luke 18. Again, that was all about persistence and boldness. Even though this judge was unjust and he didn't care, the woman continued to persist until she got the justice she needed. Then last week, we looked in Acts 4, and it was a glimpse into the prayer life of the early church. They were being persecuted and harassed by the religious leaders of the day. It was purely religious persecution. But in the face of that, they held a prayer meeting that shook the place where they were meeting. They prayed for more of what got them in trouble, which is what I kept highlighting in that passage. They did not shrink back in fear. They prayed for more of what had gotten them in trouble and sent to prison. And I made the comment in that message that if our prayers don't shake environments and atmospheres, then we're praying too safe. Right? Today I want to look at Daniel 10. Again, we're going to start at the beginning, but I really want to focus on Daniel 13 because that's probably the most applicable to our day. So let me start by reading in Daniel verse 1. Stephen, thank you. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. Isn't that interesting? God gives him a vision of a war coming, and that's how he responds. Must have been a heck of a vision. On the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the bank of the great river Tigris. I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Upaz around his waist. His body was like topaz. His face was like lightning, his eyes flaming like torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at the great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep with my face to the ground. Daniel is having this unbelievable vision, and his companions, they can't see it, but they sense something in his spiritual eye, and they all book, and they all take off, and leave Daniel there all by himself. Now, picking up in Daniel 10:10, These are the verses I really want to focus on. A hand touched me and sent me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. This is a prayer, this is a parable or a story, a historical lesson about prayer. That's why I'm looking at it. Now, in verse 10, he says, a hand touched me and sent me trembling on my hands and knees. Presumably, this angel that touches him here is Gabriel, as we had seen earlier in chapter 9, verse 21. Stephen, I believe that's in here. Put up 9:21. So the previous chapter, Stephen's going to get combat pay today. I'm jumping all over the place. While I was in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. The fact that he comes in swift flight means this is not an ordinary man, but an angel. So it's probably still Gabriel, the angel that comes and touches Daniel here in verse 10. Now, Stephen, go back to verse 11 in 10:11. That's 10:10, 10:11. There you go. Thank you. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have been sent to you. And when he said to this me, I stood up trembling. I love it. The angel comes and touches him, and there's so much divine presence that Daniel falls down, and then the angel's like, get up. Why? He says, get up because we're equal. Don't bow down to me, the angel, but get up. So he's inviting Daniel to stand up in the midst of being in divine presence. Probably not easy to do. But the angel starts by saying, Daniel is highly esteemed. Well, we've already seen this back in chapter 9 as well. Stephen, go to 9:23, please. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. Twice, an angel tells Daniel that he's highly esteemed. So this is important, something we need to pay attention to, okay? In Hebrew, the word used here means to take pleasure in. The NLT translation translates it this way. Daniel, you are very precious to God. The NASB translation translates it this way. Daniel, you are treasured. So think about it. This angel, this divine being, comes to Daniel, and our English translation, NIV, says highly esteemed, but it means to take pleasure in. You are precious, you are treasured. One translation used, you are greatly loved. So he speaks to Daniel first by telling Daniel how he's viewed from heaven. And it's to be treasured, to be loved, to be precious. But here's the thing I want you to catch. That is not unique to Daniel. This would be true of all of us. If an angel came into this room right now and spoke to any one of us, he would use the same language. Andrew, you are treasured in heaven. Zara, you are highly esteemed. He would speak this language to any one of us. So this is related to the prayer. This becomes the foundation for all of our prayers. This is why we can pray with persistence and boldness. We spent 2 weeks looking at persistence and boldness. The reason we can do that is because we're praying from a position of being highly esteemed. Do you see that? We are praying from a place of God taking pleasure in us. Think about that. As we pray, we're praying from the place of God taking pleasure in us. That should change the way we pray. We're praying with favor. The next important thing to see here is that the angel has been sent specifically to Daniel. God holds nothing back when answering our prayers. That's good news for all of us. Because he sent an angel to Daniel, but he could send an angel to us too, right? Yeah. He could be like, Cheryl, I'm sending an angel to touch that cold you've got today. It's gone. Yeah. He could do that to any one of us in this moment. And then the verse ends by saying that Daniel stood up trembling, which again was similar to what we had seen back in verse 8, 10:8, when we started reading into the chapter. But that's a common response when we encounter the divine. But imagine what it must have taken for Daniel to stand up in the presence of something so divine. All right, verse 12. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel." Whenever the divine encounters the earthly, it always starts with "do not be afraid." "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." The first thing, again, Daniel hears from this angel is "do not be afraid." And then he says, "from the first day that you began to pray, your prayers were heard." But this is, again, the second time Gabriel has spoken these things, because we saw that back in Daniel 9:23. Stephen, go back to 9:23. "As soon as you began to pray, a word went out." The Hebrew word used here means "from the beginning." From the beginning of the moment that Daniel was praying. This should be very comforting to all of us. Even when it doesn't feel like it, God hears our prayers right from the beginning. When we earnestly seek and humble ourselves before the Lord and to seek His wisdom, He hears from that first moment. We don't need to try to wake God up. Which is what Elijah was mocking the prophets of Baal in that story when he set the water on fire. Wake up your God. Maybe he's sleeping, Elijah says. But knowing this should fuel faith in our prayers. When we pray, we know that God hears right from the beginning. The angel goes on to say that he has come in response to Daniel's prayers. The implication is that the angel left right away to come and answer Daniel's prayers. So this means that sometimes, I don't know how often, but sometimes the Lord sends angels to answer our prayers. That's pretty cool. Verse 13. "But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, because I was detained there with the king of Persia." There's some interesting language going on there. Do you see that? The angel tells Daniel that his coming has been delayed for 21 days. The reason for the delay was the prince of Persia, the later referred to as the king of Persia. So we see that prayer can be delayed by reasons that may not be known to us. Do you see what is happening here? The moment that Daniel prayed, his prayer was heard, and a word or an answer went out, but the answer was delayed by a spirit. God did not delay in answering. He heard and answered right away. The delivery of the answer was delayed. The mailman got held up. Traffic, right? He had to go past Lippold Park on Sunday morning. But then the angel tells Daniel why the delay. The prince of the Persian kingdom resisted him for those 21 days. So we see that not only prayers can be delayed, they can be delayed by other spirits, spirits that are not of God. Most Bible scholars believe that this is the governing evil spirit of the Persian Empire. Iran. Now, a territorial spirit was reigning over Persia. And that's what this being is that resists this angel. But then the angel tells Daniel that Michael, the chief angel, came to his rescue. This paints quite a scene, doesn't it? It gives us a picture of a spiritual battle that rages on all around us that we're not aware of. You might whisper a humble, simple little prayer, and all heck breaks loose in the spiritual atmospheres as God tries to answer that prayer. We also see different levels of power and authority in the spirit realm that can work against prayer. We don't realize that as we pray these prayers, we're inviting war in the spirit realm. This also presents the very real possibility that our land in our day is ruled by a territorial spirit. Now, the other point to note here is that this territorial spirit is so powerful that an ordinary angel could not overcome it. It took Michael, the chief angel, to come overcome it. So this territorial spirit was mighty powerful, all right? And we're going to unpack that a little bit more. There's something going on with the names here. The territorial spirit is referred to at the beginning of the verse, in most English translations, as prince, the prince of Persia. The Hebrew word used there can also mean commander. But this is where it gets really interesting. But then when Michael, the archangel, is mentioned, he is referred to as the chief prince. But in Hebrew, it's the same word, commander. The same word is used for both Michael and the territorial spirit. But to show that Michael is greater than this territorial spirit, the word chief is added. In the Hebrew, it's the word first. Michael is the first commander, meaning the original one. He existed prior to the territorial spirit.
Commander
is in war. Yeah. But Michael existed prior to the territorial spirit existing. Then at the end of the verse, the territorial spirit is referred to as the king of Persia. And in Hebrew, it's the word king. It's to show that this territorial spirit, he was the one actually ruling over the empire. The physical king had no power to rule apart from this territorial spirit. Just ponder that a little bit and what that could mean for our day. For sure. But there could be territorial spirits that are ruling in a way that our physical leaders have no actual power. They're completely under the control of a territorial spirit. This should remind us of the spiritual realities going on around us. Keep in mind that there is a context here that we need to think about. This is related to national issues. Daniel had been praying and repenting for the sins of Israel when this happened. A national governing demonic spirit of Persia delays the answers to his prayers. And then the answer to Daniel's prayers is about the coming of natural future issues for Persia, including war. Remember, it was all about a vision that Daniel was receiving a vision, and the vision included a time of war, and that Daniel began to pray and intercede, and that's when this territorial spirit became to resist the answers to his prayer. So why would this territorial spirit want to delay the answer to these prayers? Because he does not want the people of Israel to repent and receive God's full blessing and support. Because that would mean the end of the Persian Empire. If Daniel's prayers get answered, there's no more Persia. So this territorial spirit is coming to resist that so that he can continue to have false reign over Israel. Think about that for our day. So this is not an everyday scene, but it still relates to us today. As we pray for our city and our community, which we really pressed into doing this summer, and lots of outreach, we need to know and understand this and help us pray effectively for our communities and our cities, because failing to understand this will be one of the things that gets in the way of us reaching our community. Because there are territorial spirits here that do not want our community to know Jesus. So what do? We do not take on territorial spirits by ourselves. John Paul Jackson wrote a great book about that, not taking on territorial spirits by yourselves. Remember, this spirit was so strong, it required Michael, the archangel, to come defeat the regular angel. So we don't take on territorial spirits by ourselves. They are mighty and they're powerful. We let the Lord fight those battles, but we continue to be consistent and faithful in prayer. We can ask the Lord to send angels to help, but our role is the consistency, the persistence, and the boldness in prayer. Amen? All right, I want to try to summarize what we've seen in these verses and make some application points. Number one, our prayers begin and are rooted in the fact that God takes pleasure in us and we have found favor with him. We must get to the point as we pray, we're praying from the place that God has favor with us and he is pleased with us. The application of that is we can pray boldly and confidently, knowing that we're praying from this place of having favor with him. Number two, God responds to prayers quickly, even if we don't see the results right away. Application. This should keep us from getting discouraged when we don't see results right away. There may have been traffic, and the angel might have gotten detained. Number three, sometimes the answer to our prayers is an angel, though we don't necessarily seek that. We just know that that is a tool in God's toolbox that he may use. Number four, prayers can be delayed supernaturally as the result of demonic and territorial spirits. Application, remember that these spiritual forces are trying to resist us and the kingdom of God, and they are very powerful, but God can and does overcome these other forces. Those delayed prayers can still be answered because the kingdom of God is always greater. Jesus always wins. I read the book. Spoiler alert, Jesus wins every time. And number five, pray persistently and boldly. Daniel had not quit praying. Even though that answer was delayed, the angel was resisted for 21 days. It says that Daniel had been praying for 24 days. He just kept praying. He didn't give up. So our application point is to continue to pray consistently and with faith. The thing I want us to remember is that we are in a supernatural spiritual war. And the war is centered on territory. In our case, Crystal Lake and McHenry County. This territorial spirit here was after maintaining the integrity of the Persian Empire, which ruled a great part of the earth. It was more than just Iran. It was a large part of the earth. And they were trying to preserve that empire they had. As we press into making Jesus known in our community, those spirits will fight back. But the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Sometimes I wish it was. I just want to pick up a sword and go fight a demon sometimes, but thankfully God has better wisdom than that because I probably wouldn't be very good. We fight back with persistent and bold prayer. Come to Wednesday. Have I ever mentioned we have a prayer meeting Wednesday night? Come to Wednesday night. Come to Friday morning. Come early to church on Sunday. Making sure no one's throwing anything at me. This is a great reminder, too, to listen and ask when prayers aren't being answered. Sit still and wait on the Lord. Let him speak into the delay. Amen? I want to share one story with you as I wrap it up. When Amy and I, before Amy and I came here to Crystal Lake to plant this church, we were involved with an all-Spanish-speaking vineyard church over in Mundelein. And there was a time that we had there where all of a sudden everything in the church started going wrong. People started leaving, morale was down, people were fighting, leaders were not doing their thing, people were quitting. Everything was just falling apart and going wrong. And the pastor's wife, her name was Claudia, she decided she was going to start praying in the building of the church every night at midnight. And I was like, well, that's just because you'd never sleep anyway. And so Claudia started coming over here. She brought one other woman with them. They started praying in the church building at midnight. And one night when they're in the church building praying, they look out into the, it was a commercial building, very similar to ours. They look out into the parking lot and they see a man wandering around the parking lot. At midnight, Claudia goes out there and brings this man in the church. And it became very obvious that he was demonized. So Claudia and this other woman deliver this man of the demon and then ask him, what were you doing out there? He goes, oh, I come every night to curse your church. I'm part of a Satanist church, and we go around every night to curse the churches. So once Claudia and the pastor knew that, they changed the way they were praying, and everything changed and went back to normal. The church came back together. People that had left returned. The infighting, all that stuff, it all got fixed. Look around the room right now. Look around the room right now. Where is everybody? Maybe y'all need to come on Wednesday nights and help us pray against how we've been cursed. Because I know it's happening. All the evidence is there. This is a territorial fight. This is a territorial battle. There are other spirits out there that are coming against us. We will only win that when we come here on Wednesday in unity and pray against that kind of spiritual attack. Amen? All right, let's head into communion. You know, that passage said that when we pray from a place of being esteemed by God, where God finds pleasure in us and we are highly esteemed and find favor with. That's because of Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, he made us right with God the Father again so that God can always take pleasure in us. He can always delight in us because we are so united in him through the body of Jesus Christ. So our prayer power is rooted in this communion meal, understanding that it was Jesus' sacrifice that reunites us in a holy way to God the Father that allows him to see our prayers with favor. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Whenever you eat this, do this in remembrance of me and know that you are now empowered with the Savior of the world." Again, after the supper, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for you, a new covenant. Whenever you drink of this, do so in remembrance of me." In the Old Testament, they had to go to the temple with a sheep or a goat, and then the priest would sacrifice that sheep or goat and put the blood all over the altar to make the person right. We don't have to do that. We drink this juice, and we get that same effect as a sacrifice. And this power and blood right here, this is what enables our prayers to be effective because we are set right through Jesus Christ to God the Father. Amen? Amen. The way we do communion here is you come up, you can take a piece of the bread, you can dip it in the juice and receive them together. It's still cold, or we're entering into cold and flu season, so we've got little packs if you'd rather take one of those. You do not have to be a member of our church to take communion. You just have to believe in what I just said, that this is the blood and body of Jesus Christ broken to forgive our sins and to make us right with God the Father. Amen? There is a station here and there's a station in the back. The worship team will lead us into a time of worship, and as you prepare yourself, you can come up to either station.